All right. So last time we started discussing food for the era of Caesaros. We said at the time that we use whole loaves of bread, and we embarked upon a description of what exactly constitutes whole loaves of bread. So we said first of all that you're welcome up here. We said first of all that bread does not have to be hamotzi. We talked about rice bread, you know, bean flour bread, basically that which people use as the staple of their meal, such that they will be kovei adira. They will be, they will establish their residence with it. So that has to be the type of food that people actually would do that with, and that opened the possibility even to other breads that are made out of other materials, but in the time of the Gemara, perhaps we were not using to make into bread at all. We then talked about the whole loaf requirement. And the rule of requiring a whole loaf is out of concern that if 10 people participate in making an Erev Chatzeros, and one of them puts in a whole loaf and none of them put in slices, he's going to look at them as slackers and he's going to be angry, like, why am I giving a whole loaf and you guys are all giving slices? We noted that that was not a concern in terms of rolls of different sizes. I can give a large challah and you can give a small challah and that's fine. I can give pumpernickel and you can give rye or whatever. That doesn't bother us either. But when you get to quantity, apparently there is such a concern. We gave different reasons why that would be a concern within the framework, general framework of Erev Chatzeros. We noted that there are cases where we ignore that concern as well. And there are other cases where we say that even though you should logically be able to use slices, nonetheless, don't put slices out in front of people. It's going to cause problems, even if it just means that people use slices in other cases. So, for example, we gave the debate regarding a case in which one person is actually providing the Erev Chatzeros for everybody. He says, I'm going to give all the bread. So since he's giving all the bread, he should be able to use slices. You know, what's the difference? Who's going to get angry? On the other hand, by doing that, you open up the possibility that people will learn from there to use slices in general, and they'll use them in other cases. So therefore, it's not so clear that you would be able to in that case. So then we went into a discussion of what exactly whole bread means, and we noted that, first of all, in terms of how long it remains in one piece, one view is when they donate it, it has to be whole. But doesn't have to last in one piece. Another view is it has to be whole into the beginning of the first Shabbos when it actually takes effect as an Erev Chatzeros. And then another view said...
Donation or when you put down the Erev?
Right, when you put it down, really, I should say. Not the donation. That's more precise. Thank you. And then another approach that actually says that, no, it has to be intact forever. That the heter of, the leniency of... You know, it can break at some point and we'll still rely on it, only applies if it's not really an Erev at all. If what you're doing is the Shitufei Mavoa, it's the larger thing, and the only reason we're doing an Erev is to make sure people don't forget there is such a thing as Erev Chatzeros. That's a larger discussion, but that was another view. And then we talked about what if it's lacking only a little bit, but it's the amount that you would separate as challah for a Kohen. That was the last bit that we discussed. Okay, so the first question we're going to discuss now, just briefly, and really I should have done it probably at the beginning of this topic, but I didn't, is the question of Bidyeved. Let's say they all did slices. For whatever reason, or somebody did a slice. And now it's Shabbos. So does that mean they can't carry? Like, how far are you going to go? When your fundamental rule is Erev Chatzeros is fine as a whole thing or as slices, are you going to tell me that because of concern for enmity, you're actually going to disqualify the Erev Chatzeros and no one can carry because somebody gave a slice? So the Mishabura says, I don't know. If you take a look in source Chav Zayin on your sheets, number 27, see the Prima Gadim, he says, who is not sure it's possible that it's even Bidi Eved, it would be no good. The Kaf HaChayim, it's in Shin Samach Vav, Samach Gimel, quotes the Maharil. The Maharil appears in the Minhagim, Erev Chatzeros Dalad, that he forgot and used a slice once. I don't understand, really, this line. Meaning, this is the Maharil we're talking about. If I, sitting here learning Erev Chatzeros, you know, I'm able to know this, and, like, this is the Maharil we're talking about. Nonetheless, it said that he once did it. He made Erev Chatzeros with a slice, and then he went back and redid it. He did not recite a new bracha. He relied on the original bracha. I don't really know which is stranger. The Kaf HaChayim quoting the Maharil as halacha, Kaf HaChayim being Sfaradi, and the Maharil being, one of the sources of Ashkenazi practice, or that the Ma'aril would have made this mistake regarding Erev Chatzeros. So I'm not sure which one to go with. In any case, that's an open question, the Bedi'evit question.
That piece doesn't actually prove anything, does it?
You mean because he didn't make a new bracha, so therefore it could just be Miyos Tovalti Kareira. Why don't I just do a good thing? It could be. Yeah, it doesn't prove anything in the end. I didn't even bring it on here, even though I had the Ma'aril.
If he used a slice for everybody.
Sorry?
If he did it for everybody.
Well, no.
Not that he each put in.
Right. Well, that they don't even throw into the case, that it was slices for everybody.
Maybe that's why it would be, well, you wouldn't bother him as much.
Maybe. I don't know. The whole thing is just, it just shows you that this is a problem, you know, that this is not easily resolved. The last topic within whole bread, whole loaves, is the popular practice of having everybody contribute flour. In other words, we don't all have to make bread and then bring it together. We can all donate flour, and then somebody will bake bread for everybody, and that's that. So, theoretically, that means you end up with a whole loaf. Not theoretically, realistically, you end up with a whole loaf. On the other hand, everybody give in pieces. So, how do you look at this? So the Ravid and the Rambam both said it was fine. I brought you the Ravid in source Chav Ches. He's commenting on the Rambam, and he says, "B'makomos halalu, where we live, nagu be'erev chatzeros shagoven ma'ad ma'kemach, we call bayis u'bayis. We collect bits of flour from every house. Ba'osin osa chala achas shleiman. Then we make it into one big loaf. U'mesharman osa kolashana. We keep it all year long. I hope it's matzah. Kesavri kikar shalim lekulu ka'amar. And the assumption is that yes, one loaf for everybody, and that's good enough. That's the position of the Ravid, that is brought as halacha by the Rama as well in Shin Samach Vav Vav. The Rashba on the Gemara, on Erev in Pe'alef Amad Aleph, quotes the Ravid on the Gemara as being uncertain about whether flour really works. And the Ravid there offers a source for it from the Gemara, Menachos Ayin Vav Amad Aleph, regarding the Lach Meitoda, the 40 loaves of bread that come with the Korban Toda in the Beis Hamikdash, where they discuss what if you bake fewer than 40, but on the other hand, you use the right quantity, you just combine some of the loaves into it. Do I care about how many you have? And he wants to argue from there. The Rashba himself says, I don't know what you're talking about in source Chavtes. I don't see why this is a proof at all. There is no firm requirement of 40 loaves of bread for the Lach Meitoda. That's the mitzvah. That's the way it's supposed to be. When you bring a Korban Toda, that's what you do. But if you didn't have 40 in number, no one questions that your Korban Toda is still valid. So he says, I don't want to bring any proofs from there. But he says that you should make the following argument, and I brought it inside in number Chavtas, but I'm going to say it outside. You can track it in there. He says the reason why we don't use slices is enmity, fundamentally. All the people who are involved did slices, so there's no enmity, because they all did slices, so to speak. It's flour, but they all did partial things. And as for the concern for Kilkel, I mentioned this last week already. As for the concern for Kilkel, maybe it's going to lead people to all use slices. Since there's no slice in front of them at the time that they put in the Eruv, it's one big loaf. So therefore, there's no concern that seeing a big loaf is going to lead me to do slices in the future. I'm not going to draw the wrong lesson. Granted that when they eat it, you're going to cut it up into slices. But no, I think that happens anytime you use an Erev Chatzeros. Unless you make, you know, your kol shehu whole loaves that you can swallow, the pill-sized Erev loaves, you know, coming soon to a farm store near you. Realistically, that's not a consideration. As long as they don't see slices when they set up the Erev, this is okay, so writes the Rashba. And the Mishneh Berurah in Shin Samach Vav Mem Beis is good with this as well. Not only where they collect flour, but also if they collect money, which to me is the way we would do this nowadays. If we were doing this nowadays, what we would do is we would have everybody donate money and then buy the bread together. Right? I mean, the truth is, the way we do it nowadays is different altogether. The way we do it, at least the way we did it in my community, was the supermarket always had a sale. If you buy a certain amount in the weeks leading up to Pesach, you get a free 5-pound thing of matzah. You know, like the Streitz boxes. You know, you get a big 5-pound thing. And that was it. And so somebody bought it. They were mezak in the community. They said, here, I don't want 5 boxes of Streitz matzah. And it went into the shul coat room, and that was the way we did it. But nonetheless, Mishmura says it works with you if they all contribute money as well. So we have on this 4 questions. Question number 1. The wording of the Ravid that I quoted you in Chav Ches, and it's brought in the Ramah as well, is that everybody donates flour and they make it into a single whole loaf. Why does it have to be a whole loaf? What's the requirement here? So the Bir Halacha says, it's in Source Lamed, it's in Shin Samach Vav. He says there is no enmity because everybody's contributing the flour. He's not concerned. However, he says it's basically a low plug. We don't distinguish. This is the rule. The rule is we don't use slices. I don't care. So that's the way the Bir Halacha explains it. But I think based on what we said in the Rashba, the answer is because we don't want slices present. You know, the concern that it's going to lead people to use slices for the Erev in the future. So to my mind, that's the answer for why the Ravid and the Ramah say this, and they Davka want you to make it into a whole loaf. That's number one. Number two. The Rashba is bothered on this idea of using flour. The he says, if you take a look at Source Lamed Aleph, Elash ani tama. He says, I'm surprised. Ki achshav now kishem bitstarfin bekemach v'adavar maser b'yanakol. When they're all joining in with flour, v'kama nashim umishenu baki b'halacha. And he says this includes people who don't necessarily know the halacha. They didn't necessarily learn the Gemara in Erev. They didn't necessarily learn the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and well, neither did the Rashba. Fine, but they didn't necessarily, you know, get involved in all the ins and outs of this discussion. Some of them may be women. And even he says, "V'kama nashim." Imagine that. V'daitam liisari bekemach ve'in yodin ve'pitin im yofu oso kemach v'asu oso ugos v'nimta shemarvim bekemach l'mapas. He says the problem is that your people who are contributing flour think that they're making an eruv with flour. They don't know any better. That's his question. In other words, unless you learn this and know the halacha is your eruv has to be bread, when you give flour, you think you're actually making an eruv with flour. They don't have in mind that it's going to be baked. They think they're using pieces. Yes. Yeah, as opposed to... Right, so that goes back to last week, and we said that other flours, other breads would be... Oh, and I think it could be any of the flours. I don't think it's specifically... Yeah. So people are going to assume that they're able to make an eruv with these pieces. That's what they actually think that they're doing. But then he says, maybe not. He says, maybe you could just say, v'shem anomer, on the third line, after my second exclamation point, he says, v'shem anomer, dekula nosnin aldaz haminhug. You could say, they all give based on having in mind, I'm giving according to the popular practice. V'mishem v'kabetz shaliyah hakol v'aldaito hein nosnin. He says, the person who is gathering it becomes the proxy for everybody else, and they all give, intending that it should be as he intends to do it, and they make him their shaliach, and therefore there's no concern. This also fits the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah has a comment in Shin Samach Vav Pei that I didn't bring on the sheet. He says that when you make the bracha, you do the bracha not when you gather the flour, but rather at the baking. So, in other words, it's not when you're gathering up the flour, it is the baking. Okay. Third question about this. What if they have more flour than they need due to the collection, and then they don't use all of it, right? So we collected flour from everybody sitting in this room. But then, we didn't need everybody, so as it happened, Aubrey's flour ended up not being used for the Erev Chatzeros. Does that mean he's not a member of the Erev? Right? That would be, that's a further question which bothers all of the Achronim who deal with this topic. Does that mean some of the residents have not contributed? So the Ramah writes in Shin Samach Vav Vav, it's in Source Lamed Beis, V'afal Pishin Shtayim and Akemach Lonasa Mikulo Chala, even though some of the flour is left over. You didn't make chal of everything. Afilu Achi Havi Eruv, it's still an Eruv for everybody. Delo Gara Me'ilu Echad Bezake Lekulam, it's no worse than when one person says, I am giving my chala, my matzah, my whatever it is for everybody. That's what they all meant. Meaning when you contributed, you said, everybody now owns my flour. And that, therefore, is not a concern. The Levush actually... They're pooling the flour and pooling the ownership of the flour. It's no longer Aubrey's flour there and Rabbi Ziering's flour there.
So there's not going to be any either because you didn't use my flour, but you used Bob's flour.
Right. Well, it's not just that there's no Eva, but it means that we all actually contributed to the Erev.
Okay.
Yeah. The Levush actually wants an act of Zikoy for everybody. Although elsewhere he seems to say that that's actually just everybody's understanding going in, but he seems to want an act of Zikoy. You have to do something demonstrating that it now belongs to everybody. That's the position of the Lavush. The Magen Avraham on this issue in Shin Samach Vav Yagimel says that the Ramah here implies that the Zikoy is automatic. However, in Shin Sadi Hey Aleph, which I brought you in Lamed Hey, there it seems like there actually is, like the Lavush is suggesting, an actual act of Zikoy. There has to be a moment when, you say, we are now, you know, giving this to everybody else. It isn't something that's considered to be automatic. It's something that you actually have to generate. So that part is not exactly clear. So three questions we've asked so far about giving the flower. Number one, why do the Raivad and the Ramah require making it into a whole loaf? Number two, the question of, are they doing pieces then? Number three, the question of what happens if you're not doing it for everybody. David, move this quickly. What if you're using everybody's contributed materials? The last question is, what if you don't succeed in getting it from all of them? We went around, we collected flour from everybody, but we didn't get flour from so-and-so. So again, the Mishneh Berurah writes, I brought it for you in Source Lamed Vav, that they all have in mind that it's for everybody there, including those who maybe did not end up contributing. The Nesiva Shabbos in Perek Lamed Aleph Ha'aras Amach Beis says that doesn't work if you collect loaves. It only works for the flour that they're baking into bread for everybody, but loaves, each person gives an individual loaf. I think that...
Sort of
actually directly saying it's for everybody, correct. I think that makes sense under the enmity concern, right? If you think I'm going to be angry when I gave a whole thing and he gave a slice, how about when I gave a whole thing and he gave nothing? But I do wonder, because doesn't that mean that you effectively have a non-sharing situation? If when I give loaves, I say, well, this is my loaf.
Well, because then we wouldn't, right? That would be my thing.
But we're saying that it doesn't... But we're saying that when I give loaves, it doesn't work for this guy who didn't contribute anything.
Right, but I could be not mock a bit for everybody else, right? It's like, I gave a loaf, you gave a loaf, and I don't care who gave what. Right?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like everybody goes out and buys a loaf of bread for Shabbos, throws it in the big thing, they have it for Shabbos, because no one cares who's the suit.
Right.
It's not just about you being mock, but also he needs to be as though he's darned.
That's the problem, not having.
Right. Like, that's the problem with the guy who didn't give.
Right.
So our answer is everybody else has him in mind with the ones that they give, if it's flour. But if it's loaves, then they don't have him in mind. Then they say, no, I gave a loaf. Why does he get to give nothing? Yeah. No loafers. Sorry. Okay.
It can't be worse than people giving the machzis a shekel a meal. He didn't make it in for the first whatever...
Yeah.
So they're also, I mean, but still, it's not that you haven't participated in the Karbonis Tibur. I mean, you still are.
Is that true?
I think so.
Well, that's also...
It's actually a big problem. It's a bigger problem in the Erev situation, because if he didn't contribute and he can't carry, but he has access to this space, he can prohibit for other people. In other words, he could actually end up disqualifying the Erev for everybody by his lack of participation.
It's wrong. We could argue it. It's rabbinically mandated, so to speak, that there's a kibbutz of the shkala has to be to make sure that there's something that didn't get hung, you know, with the cost. But the mice had chewed through those costs from that until the following Avar. But it collected it all by the starting beginning of Avar and before
Nisan. Yeah.
That was the kavana. But the mice, if someone showed up at Shuas, theoretically...
He could still be in.
He could still be in. Here, if you miss the Shabbos, you miss the Shabbos.
It's an interesting question, the analogy to the shkalim. I'm not sure. How much bread is required for this Erev Chatzeros? So I refer you back to the Gemara in Erev and Daf Memtes. It's Source Lamed Zayin on your sheets. Amar Shmuel, Erev Mishum Kinyan. There are two different views about what you're doing with an Erev Chatzeros. One view is that we are all performing Kinyan. We actually now are acquiring together that this is our space. We are transacting together is a better term, that this is our space. Rabba Amar Erev Mishum Dira. Rabba says, no, what you're doing is establishing residence. It's not about a kinyan. There's no transaction taking place. And the Gemara gives you three ramifications of that. Maybe, now you, what are the practical applications of whether you call it kinyan or dira? First of all, the first question is, what if you want to do it via Kinyan Suder? You're going to pick up a handkerchief. So does that work, right? I may be able to do Kinyan if it's a Kinyan, so I can pick up a handkerchief. If it's establishing my residence there, the handkerchief does nothing. Number two, what if you do less than a pruta's worth? Once again, if it's about dira, if it's about residence, so fine, as long as I have enough bread for my meal, who cares what it's worth, what the financial value is, but it's not a Kenyan. And then the third is katan, can a miner be the one who collects the eruv? If it's about dira, who cares, the bread got where it had to go. If it's about Kenyan, though, miners are not able to create the Kenyan. So those are the differences that the Gemara brings between these different views. And in practice, the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Vav Gimel follows Rabba. Eruv is dira, it's about establishing residence, and therefore the eruv does not have to be worth any particular sum of money. The eruv can be worth a penny, and it's still valid as long as you have a meal. Now, logically, that's never going to happen. You know, it's a meal. No, the meal is never going to be worthless. Nonetheless, that's the principle that we provide. Hypothetically, it could, but the price of silver would really have to skyrocket in order for this to be an issue. If the price of silver really skyrockets, then the price of a pruta really skyrockets, and therefore it's possible for bread to be less. But that would need a lot of skyrocketing. That's one thing you need to know. When it comes to money, there is no particular value in mind. What there is quantity. That's the issue that we need to face. So here we turn to a Mishnah in Erevin in Perek Zayin. It's found in the Gemara and Daf Pei Amud Beis. Source Lamaches. This is actually a series of Mishnayos, theoretically. Nismayda Ocha, we talked about where the Erev had the right shear and then it was reduced in size. That we already have discussed. So we said then you have to add to it, and what if there are new residents? Then there's the issue of assigning to them also. And then Kama Hushiro, the second line in Source Lamaches, how much do you need in this? Bismanchin Marubin, if there are a lot of people, which we need to define, Mizon Shtei Seudos Lekulam, then it's two meals worth, and that covers everybody. Bismanchin Muadin, if there are fewer people, then Kigrogros, then it's a dried fig per person. Just like a dried fig is the minimum quantity of food to be significant when it comes to transport on Shabbos, you're only biblically liable on Shabbos if you transport quantities that are significant. If you transport lesser quantities, it's rabbinically prohibited. So if you transport food, the minimum quantity to be considered significant is a dry fig volume of food. So so that's the volume here as well. For each party to participate, it's a grogeris per each individual, unless you have however many it is. Many people, in which case it's just two meals worth, and that's sufficient. And then Rabbi Yossi, who said that's only at the start, you can still use less as leftovers as long as you started with the right shear. So this definition of merubin, if there are a lot of people, is if you have 18 people. Once you have 18 parties, I should say. Once you have 18 parties to it, and we're going to talk about how to count to 18 shortly, but once you have 18, then two meals, and that is sufficient. So as most read it, this gives us a very clear shear for Eruv as well as Shituf. However, it's worth noting that the Rambam doesn't read it the way that most read it. The Rambam thinks that we misread that Mishnah. If you take a look at Source Lamed Tes, the Rambam distinguishes between Eruv and Shituf, and he writes, and I underlined and bolded for you, Ein ma'arvin b'chatzeres el pashlema bilvad. He says the Eruv requirement is just that you use a whole loaf of bread, and he does not care how big or small it is. Even if it's a kikar with a sa'ah, which is awfully big, in it, if it's a slice, it's no good. On the other hand, if it's complete, even if it's the size of an Iser coin, it's valid. Eruv is not about quantity, it is just about it being a whole loaf of bread. That makes you establish it as your location. Whereas in the next halacha, he says, Mishtatvin, as far as Shitufei Mavoa is joining these larger areas, that's when we say the Grogeris for each person and two meals and so forth. That's the Rambam's position. Rabbi Grouse in his Sefer in Perek Yud Gimel Ha'arat Tzadi Beis notes that the Vilna Gaon on Shin Samach Vav Vav Dibamaskal Tzarech seems to think that this is only with bread that the Rambam says this. But if it was flour, then a shear would be needed even for Eruv. And the Magid Mishnah seems to disagree. Take a look in the Rabbi Grouse footnote for more. Two notes, though, on the contribution that each party participates with, because we're not going with the Rambam, we're assuming that, in fact, it is a shear for Erev as well as for Shetuvim Mavoas. So the Nesivah Shabbos, in Perek Lamed Aleph Ha'ara Lamed Dalet, says, I don't know if each member actually has to give a grogeris, as long as that's what you have, in the end, as your quantity. In other words, who's to say that you need everybody to give a grogeris? Maybe what all you need is, let's say there are, I don't know how many people we have sitting here. So we have 8 people sitting here in the room. Okay, I didn't count individually. Let's say you have 8 people sitting in the room, and we end up with 8 grogros. However, the way we ended up with 8 grogros is that Pesach gave 2, and a couple people here gave half a grogeris. So is there a requirement that each individual actually give a grogeris? The Rishonim sound like it doesn't matter. They just care about what your total is. The Chazon Ish in Kuf Aleph Aleph says that 2 meals are sufficient for a large group, even if none of the participants gave a grogeris. You know, once you go past 18, you can get 50 people and they all give a tiny amount, and that's just fine. So it sounds like we don't really care, just that the total that you have should be on the calculation of a grogeris per person. That's point number one. Point number two is how we count to 18. If you take a look at source Mem, when it says Kahu Shiro in the mission that we saw, the Gemara asks, Kama Umarubi, how many is many? And it answers, Amar Yudamar, Shmuel Shmona Asar B'nei Adam. Shmuel says 18 B'nei Adam. What does B'nei Adam mean to you? Right, human beings. And the Rambam and the Bar Tanura on the Mishnah, in fact, say that. They say it is B'nei Adam. It's per person, 18 people. However, Rabbeinu Yehonah's son on the Gemara on Pei Amud Beis, as well as the Tosfos Yom Tov on this Mishnah, and I brought you the Tosfos Yom Tov in Source Mem Aleph, they say it's about the number of houses, actually. It's the participants who are obligated in it. So it's houses for Eruv, and Chateros for Mavoi. The Kavachayim in Shin Samachas Yudalit says to be strict, because the language of the Gemara is individuals. So therefore, we want a grogeris for each individual involved. Today, this isn't such a concern, because really, food is so cheap that it's not a big deal to do a grogeris amount for every person participating in the area. If he's paying rent, he can do the grogeris.
Wouldn't that be...
Yeah.
Then also can be, if you follow,
it'll be a kula to reach 18 sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, because then you have 2 meals.
Oh,
you're never
going to
lose by having 2 meals.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I also thought that at first, but it's not.
And what do you do for the city?
2 meals.
No, but I mean for the area. No, for in order to carry the city.
Yeah.
2 meals for everybody.
2 meals. That's it. Once you hit Merubin, it's 2 meals. And now we're going to find out the size of 2 meals.
2 meals.
It's quite a deal.
Not per person.
No, not per person. 2 meals, period. That's it.
What is a meal?
So that's exactly what we're talking about. I'm glad you asked.
Oh.
Right now we just said 2 meals. The Tosfos Yom Tov, I brought you the second Tosfos Yom Tov there, in Source Mem Beis, explains why we cap it at 2 meals. V'nirali d'mizon beis udos l'hachi havi davar chashuv. Shkeni kari su'udos shavas shtayim hein. He says this means a significant thing, 2 meals, because the main su'udos of Shabbos are 2 meals. No one considers Shalosh Shudos the main su'udos of Shabbos. Shalosh Shudos gets no respect. The Chasidish. You make Kiddush also. Yes. But he says, the Tosfos Yom Tov says, I'm sorry, it's 2 meals is it, and therefore And therefore, that's sufficient. Look, when it comes to Yom Tov, right, we say the sudos for Sukkah is Yudalit sudos. You know, that's just the way it goes. So therefore, he says two meals is considered significant, and that is really all that you need. So what exactly is two meals? The answer is, I don't know. No, the, there's a machlokas between the Tur and the Rambam. The Tur's view is that two meals means the volume of eight eggs. That's the Tur in our Chaim Taftes regarding Irvi Truman. The Rambam in Hilchos Erevin Perek Aleph Halachates says it's six egg volumes. I didn't even bring it on the sheet because, really, where do the number of eggs come from? So the Magid Mishnah explains the Rambam's position. The Beis Yosef explains the Torah's position. If you want to take a look at the Mishnah that's on Pei Beis and Lud Beis regarding the Shear for Erev Chatzeros, there's an opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and Broca that seems to be what the Rambam is following. Those are your two numbers. How big is an egg? Ha! Don't tell me to look in your fridge. That's your first mistake. So the Nesirah Shabbos gives you grams. The Grachna is grams are 58 grams for an egg. The Chazanish's grams are 100 grams for an egg. What's so strange?
Because egg is a volume.
Volume, yeah.
Mass measure. Grams is mass.
And yet.
Grams.
Yeah.
That's a 58 grams of an egg?
Yeah.
Okay, so assuming you have similar density throughout the egg,
right. Correct.
It works.
Correct. And that leads to a whole bunch of discussions about bread and the question of what if it's dense bread, what if it's not dense bread, what about the spaces? There's a lot of discussion that goes around this for something which, bottom line is, we get a box of matzah and we're done. But yes. The box is shalim. The box is shalim, and no one's opening it. That's a good point. I never thought about that. The shalim in the box. But
the ones which are shalim.
The ones that are shalim are the ones we count.
No,
you get the machine. You're getting a machine.
You're
out of it. We'll have a luck. But this is, I didn't thought about it. But you're right.
And then we'll open it when they need it for shalim.
The Mishnah Berurah in Shin Samach Ches Yud Beis says that b'dieved you're allowed to rely on the Rambam for six eggs. So, good to know. Okay, a topic we've discussed, but now we have to discuss in earnest, is, so now we know that we need to have two meals, basically, for our city Erevin. We have more than 18 participants in them. What if the shear is reduced? What if you had the right quantity in the beginning, but then it was reduced? Note that that includes, what if it becomes inedible? That's also a reduction of the shear, because you no longer have the edible amount that you need. So that's one. And then also, if it is prohibited, that also is a reduction of the shear, right? If you're not allowed to eat some of it. So the classic case in the Gemara, I brought you the Mishnah from the third parak, is what if somebody takes a vow that's going to prohibit the Eruv to him? Or the Shetuvei Mevaos, for someone takes a vow to become a Nazir, and the Shetuvei Mevaos is wine. Or what if the Kohen contributes Truma, and I'm not a Kohen. So, yeah, so what do you do? Are you able to use it? Right, so don't get hung up on the word Maharv in there. Just don't get hung up on it. It's okay. The Gemara resolves it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, sorry?
But if he offers it on himself, he can't carry it, then does he act as a block to everybody else?
So, potentially, yeah. Potentially. So... No, but he can't be Kovei Adira there if it's Aser for him. It's not his Dira, and therefore he's not a member of the Erev Chatzeros. Yeah, no, that's where the problem becomes. So, three notes within this issue of what if it becomes Aser. One, I brought you the Gemara, you can look at it later, in Source Mem Dalid, which asks the logical question, how do you have an Erev Chatzeros for Yom Kippur? Right? No one can eat the food, but you need an Erev Chatzeros. So there are a couple of components to the answer, and that's why I just brought you the Gemara. A piece of it is that it is roi for the Ketanim. Another piece of it is it's Seuda HaRu'uyim Yibodiyom. I take a look at the Gemara. I didn't want to go into the details of it, but I wanted to show you, yes, this issue is addressed. The second point is the question of what if when Erev Pesach is Shabbos, right? Do you use Chametz? Knowing that by the end of Shabbos you're not allowed to eat the chametz, but at the start of Shabbos you are allowed to. Does it only need to be mutter ben hashmasha? Does it have to be mutter all Shabbos long? Do you use matzah? Our minhag is not to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Like, what do you? Sorry. Yes, but I'm using the word minhag loosely. It's a shiur in its own right, if you want. We don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So that's a second question. The Dovid Mesharim Aleph Lametes deals with it. You should also take a look at Rabbi Grouse's Sefer Perek Yud Gimel Ha'arat Pevav. And then the third note, just from the Mishnah Brura, he says that if the item might be us or might not be us, you're not allowed to use it. Even though normally we say, Safek Galahakel, you need a Cheskas Kashrus for your Erev first. And there you don't have that. See the Mishnah Brura as well as the Bir Alacha that I brought there. Okay. No, just the Mishnah Brura. The Bir Alacha I wanted is different, actually. Sorry? So that's the question. Is it sufficient to have it be valid by Nashmashos? Okay. I mean, fundamentally, it's binary. Either Ben Ashmashos or all Shabbos. The fact that you've added a little bit of Shabbos doesn't help you. Yeah. So, there is a machlokus as to how long the Erev must last. This goes back to the discussion that we had last week about how long it has to be in one piece. Shalem. Is it only till the time when you put it down? Is it the start of Shabbos, or is it forever? So the same debate is going to return here. The Ma'aril, who said it just has to be intact when you put it down, will say it also only has to be the shear when you put it down. This is a very big deal. Don't think of this as a minor deal, because someone comes along and eats the Erev Chatzeros. Now I need to know, am I still okay? So the position of the Ma'aril would seem to be the same. The Shulchan Aruch's position regarding being in one piece was that it had to be into the first Shabbos. The same thing is going to be true here. It has to be into the first Shabbos. And as seen above regarding Prusa, regarding slices, the Magen Avraham said that Rabbi Yossi's leniency of if it's good for the first Shabbos, it's good forever as long as you just have kolshu. He said that only applies where the Erev is really redundant and it's just there to make sure everybody knows that we do Erev, but you're really using Shitufim Mevoos. So, you know, he won't accept that idea. He's going to want it to be intact forever. In practice, the Bir Alacha and the Mishnah Brura both say not to rely on Kol Shehu remaining, saying, well, there's something remaining and therefore it's fine. If it got used up on a Shabbos, or if it got reduced from the Shear on Shabbos, after Shabbos is over, get new. Don't rely on it. The other question is, would it be okay if you had only a minimal amount remaining? In practice, is Kol Shehu remaining really sufficient? When the Gemara said it, it said Kol Shehu. Kol Shehu means any minimal amount. Is that really going to be true? So the Aruch HaShulchan says no. In Source Mem Zayin, he says, Yerayli, it appears to me, to Kol Shehu Lav Davka. When it says Kol Shehu, any minimal amount, that doesn't really mean any minimal amount. There is no logic whatsoever in saying that if less than an olive-sized amount remains, it should be called an Eruv. Ubevadei tzara kizai. He says, of course you didn't analyze the math. But then he goes off to quote you a Yerushalmi regarding Ezov. Without going into all the details, I brought it here for you if you want to take a look at it. But basically, out of that Yerushalmi, we learn the idea that your three strands of hyssop don't have to be intact necessarily forever that you use when you're doing the paraduma water for purification, as long as you have two-thirds remaining. So maybe here too you should require two-thirds of the Eruv to remain. Rabbi Grouse notes something very interesting on this in Perek Yud Gimel Ha'ara Kuf Chaf Beis. He says, you know, someone who does the Eruv solo, okay, like the case I gave last week, where there are two residents, and I give somebody else food to keep in his yard so that I establish my dira, and he already lives there, so he doesn't need to contribute. So I just did it myself. How large does my Erev have to be? It's just one of me. Just a grogeres. So he says, a grogeres, according to the Vilna Gaon, is smaller than a kizayis. So is the Aruch HaShulchan going to disqualify the Eruv because it doesn't have a kol shehu in his definition of kol shehu? But then he notes the Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Samaches Gimel actually argues that the Kezayis is smaller than a Grogeres. So therefore he won't have that problem. But it's an interesting question. If you're really going to require a Kezayis remaining.
And what about the Kippur, which is the size of an Isser?
Well, an Isser.
Very, very small an Isser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, assuming the Graal is reading that Yerushalmi. Yeah. Proof at a time.
Right.
That once you have tefillah Shabbos, that's it.
Correct. Correct. Last point on this issue of the size of the Eruv. If new residents enter, they are not able to rely on the reduced Eruv. The Shulchan Aruch says it's in Shin Samach Vav Tes in source Memches. V'mitos v'diorin la'achar shenismai ta'erev ben ashir tzarek la'usiv macham asan. In the event that you have new residents who join after the Eruv has been reduced and now it's less than the Shear, so everybody else is fine because they actually were participants at a time when there was a proper Shear. They then, you know, lost some of the Shear, but it's okay because they're grandfathered in. But a new resident comes in, the new resident never was there for a proper Shear. And therefore the new resident will be no good, and therefore the whole thing is going to be no good. The Nesiva Shama says this is not only a concern where you have new residents come in, so that you've actually added people, but also if, even if some old people left, so your Shear didn't change. Nonetheless, if you have new residents, fundamentally you still have the same problem. The fact that people are coming in who were never there when the Shear was appropriate. The Mishnah Berurah notes this as well. It's in Source Mem Tes, I brought it, Shin Samach Vav Nun Dalet. And he says, even making a condition when you set it up, saying, this Eruv is going to work for all those who join in the future, don't actually, that doesn't actually work. Making your condition like that, that's not going to work, because they only acquire their share of the Eruv when they join. They didn't acquire it in the beginning. What you did in the beginning was just to say, we're open to sharing. But you didn't actually, you know, do anything. You didn't actually do anything, you know, to make it theirs, because you didn't even know who they were.
So if it wasn't Nismayit, new people come in?
If it wasn't Nismayit, new people come in, then your condition works, because you declared that you're sharing it with them, and
okay,
now they
so
claim their share. Correct.
Does that only work if you had Mazon Shtei Seudos?
Does that only work if you had Mazon Shtei Seudos? No, the point is that you have less than a share. The point here is that it was reduced. You're asking the question about the general condition, forget reduced?
Yeah.
No, why should it only be... I mean,
you have
because now you're less than a Shear. Right, because now you're less than a Shear. Yes, no, then you're right. It would only work if you're already at the max.
You started out with the two Zudos, and then it was Nismayit, and then more people came in, and that's okay? Or that is...
No. I thought you were asking a different question.
Let me give you
the following permutations.
Yeah.
Possibility number one. We're not at the two Seudos mark. There are 10 people. There are 10 Grogros. And then new people join in. Even though it was never Nisma'eit, I'm still stuck because I need a Shear for the 10. For the 11 or 12 or whatever it is. So that will not work. That's possibility number one. And then obviously if you started with 10 and you have less, and then new people join and you have the same problem. So we're not talking about those cases. If you had two meals worth, because you already were at 18 people or more, and it was not reduced from two meals worth, and then people join in, then we're fine. If you have two meals worth, it was reduced below two meals worth, and then more people join, now I have my problem.
That's right.
That's the idea.
If you have 10 people, can I just do two Seudos?
Sorry, say this again. If you have 10 people, can you do two meals with? Yeah, why not? Yeah. Matav Manoi.
You don't have to. You can do one.
Yeah, you can always do one. Correct.
A minimum.
Yeah.
Lots more.
No, we said you can do two meals.
2 meals is more than 10 grocers.
2 meals is 18. 2 meals of 18 grokers. The Sharet Siyun says something that I thought was a little odd and worth noting. In source Nun, he says the Rashba and the Ritva are the source for the statement that it doesn't work. They're the source for the statement that if the Erev is reduced and then new people join, you have a problem, even if you'd stated a condition. But then he writes, Lo kasvuzos l'svara vadois rak nistap gubaza. He says they weren't really sure. And the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch was just being strict misafek. However, I looked in the Avodas HaKodesh, and I wasn't sure how to parse his language in Nun Aleph. He says, Yeroi Elisha Mismaita Ochel Ashlani Toskwa Dirin Sarachula Osif. He says, it appears to me that if indeed the food is reduced before you add residence, then you have to add, right? If food was reduced and then people moved in, you have to add. And then he says at the end, Vitzarach Lis Yashiv Bedavar. I wasn't so sure that Vitzarach Lis Yashiv Bedavar means he's unsure.
Well, what would he mean then?
I don't know. Vitzarach Lis Yashiv Bedavar sounds like I think it's usher. I don't see why it should be mutter. Someone would have to make a good argument to me as to why this should work. I didn't think that this was such a. I didn't think he was uncertain. I don't know. That's just me. And then I brought in, I should have really moved it earlier, the Taz also says he doesn't like it even with a condition. He says that if you reduce it, you're stuck. Okay. So that's in terms of the food of an Eruv. And by the way, don't use food that you prepared with a plan to specifically use it for Shabbos, because then you are machbid that other people shouldn't have it. That's the Shulchan Aruch explicit.
Can you one more time?
If you have food that you plan, in other words, I have guests coming for Friday night, and I planned that I'm going to have a certain number of challahs, and I included in my plan the challahs that I contributed for the Erev Chatzeros, that's a bad thing, because then I'm makbid that nobody should use my rolls. Okay. That's all food of the Erev. That brings us to discuss briefly the food that's for Shitufei Mavoos, the larger areas. Remember, houses open up onto Chatzer, that's the joint yard. Yards open up onto a Mavoi, which is a quasi-public domain. It's public-ish, but it's not actually a Rishon HaSarabim. So if I want to merge all of the yards, then I have to set up a joint meal, a Shitufei Mavoos, for the Mavoi as a whole. That's the principle. Now, there are differences between the food I use for a joining of a mavui and the food I use for joining on a chatzer. Rule number one, and we've already seen it, is that it's not necessarily bread. It's not necessarily bread. You don't need to establish your dira, your residence, via bread. It may, in fact, be solid or liquid. There is a debate as to whether, when you're dealing with shtufei mavoos, whether bread is preferred, or whether you could really just use wine and be just as happy. Rabbi Graus brings sources on it in Perek Yigimel Ha'ara Lamedalet. I'm just going to bring a little bit here. Rashi believes that that bread is really preferable. So it appears. If you take a look at source Nun Dalet, actually it's on Nun Gimel, was the Raisa that said that you use bread for the Eruv, but if you want to use wine, you can do that. I'm sorry. You may not use wine for it. You use it for the Shtufei Mavoos. Sorry. So Rashi writes, Mishtafim b'mavoi b'yayin, we use wine for the Shituf. He says, the Shituf de mavoi eino elo l'shatef reshus hachatzeros shemavoi. He says, Shituf in a mavoi is to join the chatzeros, v'lo reshus habatim, not to join the houses, v'chatzer lav beis dirahu, the chatzer is not a house of dwelling, the kolshik, and therefore you don't need to have bread. The kolshik ain't past the chashiv tfei, but he says certainly bread would be great. Rashi believes that bread is better for shitufei mavoos. What we're doing is saying it doesn't have to be bread because you're not establishing dira, but bread would certainly be better. The Rashba in the Avodas Hakodesh sounds like bread is ideal. If you take a look at Nun Hey, he says Chachamim tiknu l'ar b'chatzeros shadev mavoos v'chmiru b'chatzeros shelo l'ar b'chatzeros ela pashlema. They were strict with chatzeros and said you need a whole loaf of bread. They kelu b'shitufei mavoos, and they were lenient with shituf l'shadev af b'shara ochlenu b'mashkin, to say you could use other things, but for sure bread is best according to Rashi and according to the Rashba based on what we've seen. At the same time, Rabbi Graus notes that there's another Rashi in source Nun Zayin. The Gemara in source Nun Vav, they have a question about why you don't just set up your shituf by doing, by assigning people a revias of wine that you have in your barrel. And Rashi there comments in source Nun Zayin, and he says, Iker shituf b'yayin. The main shituf is with wine. I don't happen to think that that's a contradiction with what he said before. Saying Iker Shituf B'yayin just means the Gemara phrased it as wine is fine for Shituf. That doesn't mean that wine is the be-all and end-all of Shituf. I don't think that's a big deal. Because he wants to show you, because the Gemara's terminology was Mishtat B'yayin.
Is that what?
It isn't just like you can, but like, yeah, sorry.
Is that what the Gemara and I are not on the face is saying?
Yeah.
Good arm or behind your pair.
You're talking.
Oh, that's what we just had right there. Okay.
It's what we had on the Gemara.
Yeah.
The so that's what we saw there, and then Nunches though is clearly wine. In source in Rabbeinu Yehonah's son, he says Apagab Shitufe Mavui Roi Laso Somiyayin. Rabbeinu Yehonah's son is less strong about bread. He makes it sound like it's Roi for wine, but everybody agrees you're Yotze if you use bread. He's less enthusiastic about bread. At the end of the day, I really think you have to accept that bread has to be the ideal. I don't really even think Rabbeinu Yehonah's son is discrediting the use of bread. I don't think he means it as negatively as it comes off. So here's a question for Shituf. If it doesn't have to be bread at all, and it can be wine, can you use a slice? Can you use a slice of bread? Can you use a slice of fruit? Right? Our concerns with Eruv were for enmity. Presumably enmity is a concern when you deal with Shituf and Mavalis too. But on the other hand, if we can all use fruit, right, how are you going to start gauging this? So the Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh notes a view that says that you are allowed to use it, but then he backs down. I wrote it for you in Nuntes. He says, Pas Prusa, sliced bread. Yesh Omim Shemishtaf. And but some say you could use it. Shalot for Shituf. Shalot de Pas Prusa Grom Misharmine Peros. It's not worse to use a slice of bread than it is to use a banana. Well, a banana for them would have been, you know, a banana. A slice of name your Polish fruit. Or for the Rashba, name your North African fruit. Spanish fruit for him, actually. Spanish, yeah, sorry. So he says, bread is no worse. Your slice of bread is fine. But then he says, some say no, don't use a slice. Well, Zeha does note that, and he says, I think that's actually correct. There is concern for enmity in the Shituf area as well, and he's concerned. Elio Rabba quotes that as, in fact, the Rashba's conclusion on this issue. The Bir Alacha in Shin Pei Vav, the Ramaschal Ein, thinks that the Rambam does not permit the use of slices. So bread should be whole, even in Shituf Mavalis. However, when it comes to slices of fruit, the Baal Amor says slices are no good. I wrote it for you in Samach. It's going to have to be shulling, whether it's pas or sha'armin, and bread or other things doesn't make a difference. It has to be whole. But the Ritva on Pe'alaf Amad Aleph says no, only bread has to be whole. Other species do not. I think the logic is the following. I think it's because when you're dealing with giving something that we consider universally important, like bread, so people are really careful about it. And they see a loaf of bread as different from giving slices. Especially when you consider that slices go bad quickly and so forth. People are really machbit on that. If you're giving an inferior species, though, if you're giving, you know, fruit, vegetables, whatever it is, even wine, then perhaps there really isn't as big a differential between whether it's whole or not whole in people's eyes. That's just my own approach to it. I don't think you can have an equivalent. Barrels are clearly too big for this. You know, your barrel holds far more than your two meals worth. So, as an interesting discussion, you are allowed to mix, when you're dealing with Shituf, you're allowed to mix foods, and you're allowed to mix liquids. There's a safek I saw, where did I see it? Nesiva Shabbos Perek Lamed Aleph Ha'ara Nundalit wonders, could you combine solids and liquids? He is ensured he hasn't seen anybody address it. But you could combine solids, and you could combine liquids. Yes. Let's say fruits. I mean, that's meat works just as well. But yes. You don't have to be Kaveya Suda. This isn't about Dira. You do not need to be Kaveya Suda. Fruit works just as well. Yeah. So, and the same amounts pertain, meaning it's the amount of food you would eat in two meals. As a matter of fact, there actually is a whole other discussion. What if the food you're using is something that's normally used as sandwich food? It goes on the bread. So the quantity that you need for your two meals is the quantity that you would use with bread in two meals. So it's a smaller quantity. If you give salami, it's two meals. It's the salami you would use at two meals. and not counting the volume of bread you would use. So you actually reduce greatly what you would be using. Okay, and just as with chatzir, you have the same debate I mentioned before, whether the contribution is per resident or now per chatzir. Okay, so shituvim uvoos fundamentally have really two different issues. Well, there are three different issues between shituvim uvoos and erev chatzeros. I'm only dealing with one right now, and that is what kind of food you use. The other two differences are where you put it, and I'm going to get back to that further along in the shiur. And the question of what language you use when you dedicate it, and in your bracha, and that Rabbi Ziering is going to deal with on Friday, God willing. So that I'm not. I assume that's in your shiur. The difference in Arab and Shidduch and the language of the bracha and the dedication. Yeah. So that's something I'm not discussing now. Today, the rules for the food that we use are a bit different. And this goes back to the point that we made earlier about the nature of today's Erev Chatzeros. If you look in source Samach Aleph, you find Erevin Ayin Aleph Mabez 2, Ayin Bez Amad Aleph. We begin with Ma'arim B'Chatzeros U'Mishtafim B'Mavush L'Lashkach Taras Erev Minatinokos. We say that you're supposed to, even though we have a Mavoy, not we, even if there is a Mavoy, and therefore you can just join everybody on the Mavoy, and not need an Erev Chatzeros for the individual Chatzeros that open into the Mavoy. Nonetheless, we require that you do an Erev for the Chatzeros, and you do a Shita for the Mavoy. Why? Because otherwise we're worried that children will forget that there is such a thing as Erev. They're going to think our parents didn't do an Erev, therefore we don't do an Erev, right? This is the way Jews always do it, right? It's not a modern phenomenon. My parents didn't do it, therefore it must be some crazy new Chumrah. Never realizing that, A, you may not have been aware, B, there may have been a different compelling legal circumstance, or C, maybe your parents didn't know what they were doing. Shh, don't say that. But that's Rabbi Meir's position. He says you have to do both. But Chacham Omrim, sorry. Yeah.
Person
know
their name, so I don't
know their name. Right. It's true also. But Chacham Omrim, and the Chacham take the position that you do Erev or Shituf, you do not need to do both. So, Pligi Bar Rabbi Nechumi
V'Rab. What does that mean?
They say, no, you don't need to do both. Don't worry, we're going to follow Rabbi Meir. We're following Rabbi Meir.
You'd be able to carry it from your house into the...
No, if it's a Mavoy, I need Shtuvim Avavos. If it's a Chatzor, I need Chatzeros.
But he's saying either one or the other.
But in either circumstance. Not Erev Chatzeros will not work for Mavoy.
Okay.
Yeah. Pligi bar Rabbi Nechumi v'Rabba. Rabbi Nechumi and Rabba have a machlokes. Chad amar v'pas dukleyama lo pligi d'bachad asagi ki pligi b'yayin. One of them contends that if you do bread, then you only need to do shituvei mavoos. You do not need to do erev chatzeros. Because the bread is recognizable, everybody knows about it, don't worry about it. The debate is only if you're using wine for your shituvei mavoos, which isn't as public, won't be as known, the kids won't recognize it and know about erev. And then, just to conclude, we follow Rabbi Meir. The difference between halacha, minhag, and nohag would be a good shiur for another Tuesday at some point, but it's not going to happen right now. But that's the Gemara on this, and it is brought la halacha in the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Pei Zayin Aleph by the Shulchan Aruch that you do eruv and you do shituf. Clear? We need to do both. The Rama says no, we don't. In Sori Samach Beis, he says V'yesh Omrim Desomchen Hashituf Makom Erev. Some say you can rely on Shituf, where you should also need Erev, but you won't because you're doing Shituf. Afilo Nishtatfu Ela B'Yayin. Even if they only used wine for the Shituf, V'chein Somchen Erev Makom Shituf. I'm going to leave that line out. I'm not going to go there right now. Ule'el shin samach vav siv zayim b'haga kasavti da'anu nogim l'chadchila shlalasos rak shituf echad b'kemach. He says, I've already noted, we saw it above, that we actually all do shituf with flour, and that's it. Why? V'nirali atam, it appears to me the reason why this is okay is ki erev shalanu shakol echam ibnei achatzar nosim l'shituf havi ki erev shituf b'yachad. He says, the reason why this is good is because the way we do Shituf is that every single resident of every single yard is contributing to the Shituf, and therefore it really is Eruv plus Shituf. Right? It's Eruv because every member of the yard is in, and it's Shituf because every yard is contributing. He says you should not do any more than that. Don't do an extra Eruv on top of that. It just creates problems. And the reason why we want Shita of an Eruv is because of the concern that people are not going to know about it. But now, we're with this method, we're actually okay. That's the position of the Ramah. So the Ramah says, the only reason why there was ever any doubt was because they weren't collecting from each individual. That's the Ramah's position. We collect from each individual, so we're good. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Levush, contemporary roughly to the Ramah, who says, what are you talking about? Sar Samach Gimel. Hiksha Levush, the Levush asked, Echad, first of all, mi yomar shebizmana gemara lo nasnu kol b'nei achatzer l'shituf. Rak echad b'nei achatzer. He says, you live in the 16th century. What do you know about how they were collecting in the times of the Gemara that you can think that they weren't having every member of the chatzer contribute? What do you know? V'od, and further, lu yehei she'echad b'nei achatzer nasan l'shituf mabakach. He says, why wouldn't it be good if only one member of the chatzer gave? Hariyum mezakehu l'kulam. He assigns it to everybody. He says they're all owners. Right? That's one of the things we do. Right? We talked about zikoi. Right? We said, you say this is going to be for everybody. So who cares whether they personally contributed or not? It shouldn't make a difference. The Levush says that the Ramah has invented a reason for leniency that doesn't make any sense. So then why do we do what we do? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, Acha iko sha'olam somchen al dea rishona. Sha'filo iyev kochatz la'atzmam nishtat v'pas somchen ala v'enu tzarech la'ariv v'chatzer v'enu tzvichem la'ariv v'chatzer is klal. The Mishnah Berurah says, no. The reason why this actually works is because we're using bread. That's it. It's not because we're doing it differently than they did it. It's the is that it's just that we use bread. So I have two grounds for leniency. Of just calling it a shituf. One ground is the Ramah, we're all contributing. The other ground is we're using bread, and the Gemara was happy. If we all use bread, then you can just do shituf and you don't need to do Eruv. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan notes that really you don't need to justify why the Ramah said this. He says in Samach Dalet, the Aruch HaShulchan says, people ask, why did the Ramah need to go after this? Why didn't the Ramah just say, well, we're using bread, and that's fine in the Gemara, just like the Mishnah Berurah's statement. But he says the point of the Ramah was he wanted to say our practice works even if you don't accept the idea that using bread counts for everything. Nonetheless, it's still good because everybody is contributing. That's the way he understands what the Ramah was trying to do with his history lesson. Lamaisa, the post can follow the Ramah. They say that you're allowed to use a single meal as both Erev and Shituf. The Maharil did it. The Tashbetz does it. I brought it for you in Samachay. And he says you should not add. The Shari Tshuva does it. We saw the Levush already doing it, even if he disagreed on the logic. The Kavachayim says it. We rely on Shituf in place of Eruv. Which means that you can now use wine. You can use other things. Oh no, you can't. I'm sorry. We said you have to use bread. I take that back. But you can change your location of it. It affects your language.
Are you going to cover the Nusach HaBrochet?
That's what Rabbi Zira is going to deal with. Yeah, sorry.
And Shir.
And Shir presumably also. Although shear doesn't change, it's still 18.
For
shear? Yeah, it's still 18. That was what I said. It's still 18 grows and two meals. Yeah. The two notes, though. Note number one is that the Rashba is fully aware of the options, and yet, look at source Samach Vav. This comes after Siv Kufayin Aleph and Ayin Bey and Kufayin Beis, where he noted the different views. He says, Nagu la'arve pas ulishateif. You know what we do? We do Erev and Shituf. Umanichin shte ugos b'bayis shebachatzer. You put two loaves. I assume ugos are loaves in a house on the yard. Achas mishum shituf, achas mishum erev. So we're doing erev and shituf after all is said and done. That's note number one. Note number two is that the Aruch HaShulchan says none of this actually applies in our cities. He says our cities. I brought it for you in Samach Zayin, but in the interest of time, I'm not saying it out loud, but you can see it there. He says in our cities we don't actually have mavoos. We don't do tikkunei mavoi. We just do one big erev chateros and no shituf. That's going to matter a great deal when we talk about shuls as locations for the erev meal. So keep that in mind. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't think we're actually doing shituf in mavoos. He thinks we're just doing erev. Big nafkamina for the discussion of erev food. First of all, in terms of the question of why Rabbi Yossi approves kol shehu, he said that what we're doing is actually redundant because you already have shituf. That's number one. Number two, though, the Chai Adam writes in Ayin Gimel Tesvav that if they forget bread, then they're allowed to use jointly prepared food. That's the position of Chai Adam. So in the Nishmas Adam, Ayin Gimel Yud Aleph, he explains that that's because we're relying on Shituf B'Makom Eruv. So therefore, the whole thing is just, you know, for people to remember it, you know, and that's sufficient. Alternatively, Rabbi Graus in his in Perek Gimel HaAradal, it says it's because they are now joint residents. Once they join in the Shituf, they actually are joint residents, and therefore they don't need the Eruv at all. He goes much further with it. Not because they have the Shituf, but because they have jointly prepared food. I'm sorry, let me state this more clearly, because actually it's worth noting his argument. The argument goes, what if we have a Shituf Emavavos for everybody in the whole of the city, right? And then, in our yard, we're all eating together. We prepared a meal together. It just happens not to have bread. So, Rabbi Graus argues, you don't need bread for an Erev Chatzeros in that situation, at least b'dieved, because you created a joint meal together. You're now joint residents. You accomplished the goal of Erev Chatzeros without the technical details of an Erev Chatzeros. You are living together. You're eating a big meal together. What more do you want? And that's his argument.
And what do you use?
The joint food.
No, but what do you use for the Shituf Mavos?
The Shituf Mavos was made for the city.
Bread for that?
It didn't have to be because I did Eruv. It could be whatever food you want. I did a proper Eruv. I didn't even need an Eruv.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
Yeah.
And the Chabor Shikidish, like, have a yom.
Well, that was happy to have pasta, but not to say that it was...
Well, there... Yes, that's right. Well, that goes back to our discussion when we did that, like, a month and a half ago. Right? That was the discussion then, is why do they need to do this at all? And we distinguish between where their food is together versus where they happen to be eating together.
Oh, now we just eat.
And we said that if they're right, we said that if their food is together, they don't need an eruv.
Oh, okay.
Right. They actually right. Okay. This is also going to affect the location of the meal. This discussion about shituf and what hard thing is. So we're going to come back to that shortly. Okay. Let's talk now about the last bit. We've talked about what qualifies for your eruv meal. We talked about what qualifies for your shituf meal. I hope some of it was valid and explicable and understandable. Now we have to talk about where you're putting your eruv meal. So the rule is that your eruv meal establishes dira, it establishes where you are spending Shabbos, and it has to be, therefore, in a house. That's the rule. This is established as the requirement on Peheum and Beis. I brought you the Mishnah and the Gemara in Source Samaches, where we say, Eruv Echateros, look at the conclusion of Source Samaches, Eruv Echateros Uvayesh Echateros. The Eruv Echateros is in a house on the yard. Shituf Emavos is in a yard on the Mavoi, not necessarily in a house. The Eruv meal has to be in a real house, we say. Not in a gatehouse, not on a porch. That's the Gemara in Eruv and Peheum and Beis, which I did not go into over here. It establishes your residence. It can't be in a place where people get to just tram through all day and all night. It can't be in a road. It can't be in a public space. It has to be in a house. The Chazon Ish says it has to be in a dwelling, but not necessarily a dwelling of one of the Ma'arvim. Not necessarily owned by one of the people who's actually participating in it. It just has to be in a Bayis HaRoy L'dira, a house that people could live in. So that's going to matter when we talk about putting it in a shul. You know, that we'll come back to. It has to be also, though, and this is a big point, it has to be in a house from which you could transport into the yard, meaning you have a proper enclosure. Imagine if you have your chatzer, right? All of these desks are houses that open into a chatzer, but some of them have some kind of an interruption in between, or they don't have proper walls in between, and then I put the Eruv meal in one of the houses that actually isn't connected to everybody else in the chatzer. You follow the problem?
So there's no access into the chatzer?
You have no, well, you have access. You could walk there, but you can't transport.
Because it doesn't open up on
because it doesn't open. It doesn't open straight into it. Okay. You have an interruption. So the so this is a major, major issue. The Chacham Tzvi in Tshuva Kuf Yud Aleph sees this in the Gemara and in the Rishonim. At first, I only saw it in Acharonim on the Shulchan Aruch, but eventually I found where it's traced earlier. Take a look at Source Ayin, Mishnah. Shtei Chatzeros Zulifnim Mizu. You have two yards that are one within the other. What we mean by that is that you have the inner yard, and you have the outer yard, and people from the inner yard have to walk through the outer yard. in order to get where they want to go. They have no other access. So where you have inner yards and outer yards, I wonder a little bit, I picked a sheet of source. Right? That's talking about Shtei Chatzeros, but then we say Nas Nuei Ruvan. I don't know, how do they end up with that? I take it as houses rather than Chatzeros, even though the wording that I used there was Chatzeros. We want it for houses. So Nas Nuei Ruvan B'makom Echad. Unless the answer simply is it's multiple. Right, let me not go there. I'm creating confusion that we don't need. Nasri Rum of Makom Echad, if they put their joint Eruv in one place, Vishachach Echad, but one of the residents forgot to participate, Beimenachimis, Beimenachitzona, either way, whichever one he's from, Velo Eruv, but he didn't participate, Shtei and Asuros, they're both off limits. That's the rule. So what it says is that if one of them forgets to participate, the Eruv is no good. So I understand easily why it's no good if the outer one fails to participate. But why is it no good if the inner one fails to participate? The outer one should still be fine. So Rashi says, if you take a look at Ayin Aleph, Shtei and Asuras, they're both off limits. Depnimis nami asura l'taltal b'chatzeira, because the inner one is not able to transport even within their yard. Mishum delomatzia l'mechad dasha v'istaluke mechitzona li'ishtamushe b'an peinafsha. Because what they do not have the ability to do is close the door and separate from the outer one and say, the outer one functions on their own, we function on our own. Dahalesa la eruva gaba, because the Arab isn't with her. Da also Arab Amatiran Bahatzeran Alichu Bahitsana, because they put the Arab in the outer one. In other words, let me make sure this is clear, because I don't think I stated it clearly. Let's say this table is Chatzer number one. This table over here is Chatzer number two. Okay, let the record show on the audio. This table here is Chatzer number one, that table here is Chatzer number two, and from there you go outward, okay? The Arab is actually in Chatzer number two. Someone in Chatzah number two forgot to contribute. So Chatzah number one says, but we're okay. All of our residents took care of ourselves. So what we'll do is we'll close the door to Chatzah number two, and then we are all okay, transported within ourselves. No one has access to our Chatzah who failed to contribute to the Eruv. You follow? True.
No, there's two Chatzahs.
No, within their chutzah they can get it. They can't go into the outer one, because once you go into the outer one has usher people on it.
Right.
The problem is, and this is what Rashi is explaining, that doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because your Arab is in the outer yard. Your Arab has to be with you. And that is the key point in this Mishnah that we're seeing here. The Mishnah appears in Ayin Hey and Aleph. So you can see it there, but that's the key.
But if you're okay with eating the Arab, so to speak, in that other, you're not carrying it back.
Yeah,
to
but
your
you
own
close
house.
The door. It's what? Not in your dira. You close the door. You say, I can only transport in here with the door closed.
Right.
It's not with me anymore.
But you're connected to the other
constitution. No, there's no No Shtuvah Mavos involved in this story.
So, I said, everybody contributed other than one person in Chatzer 2.
Yeah. That's right.
So he's ushering it.
He's ushering it for all the people in Chatzer 2, and as long as we are merged with Chatzer 2, he's ushering it for us also.
Okay.
That's the problem. He's ushering it for everybody. So we say, just cut him out. Cut him out and all of his neighbors. Yeah. And the answer is, that's great, but you also cut off your Eruv. That's the problem. The Eruv has to be with you. Rashi makes this point in a couple of places. I brought you a Rashi Memtesa Medalef, who talks about how it has to be the place where you reside. There's also a Rashi on Pehe on the base. And that is the logic in Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Hei Ches. If you take a look at Source Ayin Gimel, they deal with a case in which you have a Mavoi, and there were Mishtatef in the Mavoi, and then the Korah that you use to make the Mavoi permissible, Lechi Korah, remember those discussions from before, so the Korah collapses for the Mavoi. So now all the people in the yards can't carry into the Mavoi. So the rule is, Oso Chatzah Erev Munachbo, the yard that has the Erev in it, and all the Chatzeros that directly open into that yard, they're fine. But yards that aren't directly open into that yard are out of luck because they can't transport through the mavoi. The Erev is not with them. And that is the logic that the Shulchan Aruch is saying there, as the Mishnah Berurah explicitly explains. I brought you in source Ayin Dalid, Lesa Le'eruv Gabayu. The Erev isn't with them. So the Chacham Tzvi quotes this and says, therefore, if I want to put my Erev in a particular place, it's only going to work for those who have yards that are adjacent to it, not those who have yards which have some space in between in which you're not allowed to transport. And that's brought by the Taz and Shin Samach Vav Gimel. It's brought by the Nodavi Yehuda Tinyana and Arachayim Mem. It's brought by the Yishuz Malko and Arachayim Lamed. It's the Aruch HaShulchan and Shin Samach Vav Tes. Everybody agrees that this is a problem. The one who is cited for leniency is the Eben HaOzer. The Eben HaOzer, Shin Samach Hei Ches, says, not so fast. He points you to a Gemara in Erevin Laman Ches Ayin Ches Amid Beis. Sorry, it's source Ayin Hey. Ba'amine Rav Yosef Me Rabba. Rav Yosef asked Rabba a question. What if you have 2 yards, 2 separate chatzeros, which have a wall between them, but there's a tree, and the tree overhangs the wall, so that one side can use the tree as a ladder. They can climb the tree and get into the other yard. So that's the question. So the Gemara says, if you take a look at source I and Hey, Sulam, Aso Le'ilon Sulam Mao. What if you make the tree into a ladder? Tiboyle Rebbe, Tiboyle Rabbanan. This is a question within the views of Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Rebbe made a statement that if something is Aser Midrabbanan, then Bein Hashmashos, when Shabbos starts, there's no Iser. Climbing a tree on Shabbos is a Dirabbanan. So therefore, I'm allowed to climb the tree, Ben Ashmashos. So, within Rebbe, I might have argued, you're fine. This is an adequate merger of the yards. But he says, maybe not. Because your Arab has to run all day. So that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it, flip side, is to say that Rebbe's statement, that which works, Ben Ashmashos, that's Rebbe's view. The Rabbanan say no. In Isser Derabbanan, it even applies Bein Hashmashos. So therefore, your tree is not a good connector. But on the other hand, you have a valid entrance. It's just that you have a lion blocking the entrance, the lion being the Isser. But the yards are merged. If I had 2 yards that were physically merged, but there was a griffin sitting at the entrance and blocking the path, and you're not allowed to go from yard A to yard B, I would still call them merged yards. So some do here. It's a merged yard. You happen to not be allowed to traverse the tree, but it's a merged yard. So that's it. One second. That's the debate in the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch on that in source Ayin Vav. I just want to get through the Eben HaOzer's explanation. The Shulchan Aruch brings the case in source Ayin Vav, the Shnayim Beis Tes Vav, and he says it's a machlokes. First, he says if you want, you can merge those. Leave aside the Asherah discussion. And then he says, and the Rosh says, no, you cannot merge with that tree. It's a machlok. Guess we showed him. So the Eben HaOzer says, the prohibiting view, where the Erev is elsewhere, is like the Rosh. But we could follow the other view, and say that this is actually an adequate merger of the yards, the case of the tree, and so too, it's an adequate merger where you're not able to transport in between the place where the Erev is and your Chatzer, Pesach.
I was just
going to
say that your example,
yeah,
that would be precedent for the same argument about the Erev adventure.
You mean, because I can't eat it, but I can eat it, it's just us.
You just have a line, you're a kibbutz, that's your Yisr.
It's an interesting idea. Yeah. He also brings further proof. He quotes the Erev Tchumen discussion, where we say that the Erev Tchumen is valid, even if when Shabbos starts, there's a carmelist between me and my Erev Tchumen meal, which there normally is. And yet it's valid, look in Shulchan Aruch and Tathes Beis. It's true. And he says, as far as the cases in which we disqualify because you can't bring the Erev to your home from it, he says that's where the Isser is a function of the Erev itself. And that goes into a whole other discussion that I'm not going to go through right now. But the Eben HaOzer ends with Tzarech Yun. So the Achronim do not like relying on this Eben HaOzer. Their reasons include the following. Number one, the Eben HaOzer himself concludes with Tzarech Yun. That's number one. Number two, the Noda Yehuda rejects the proof from Ayin Ches Amud Beis, the case of the tree, and he also says you can't prove it from Erev Tchumen. Erev Tchumen is only done for the sake of a mitzvah purpose, so maybe there are different standards when you're dealing with Erev Tchumen. That's a whole other discussion which we didn't get to this year. We did not get anywhere near Erev Tchumen, as I told you. We were never going to get to Eretz Chumen, so yes, we didn't get to it. And the Yeshua's Malko also argues against this. I brought it here, but just in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through it. The bottom line is, you have to have contiguity in order to be able to use, to put your Erev Chatzeros in that space. You have to have the ability to carry through the contiguous spaces to the place where it's going to be stored. Other note, if it's in a house where there is an Isser de Oraisa, even if that Isser is not a Hotzah Isser, but if you can't get to the Eruv without it breaking an Isser D'Oraisa, it's not a valid Eruv. So an example of this would be breaking an entrance into that house. That wouldn't work. There's a lot of discussion about what if there are Kohanim and there's a mace in the house with the Eruv. So that's its own discussion. If you want to look at the Nesivos Shabbos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Arak Reish Chav Hei, you can see a nice discussion there. But that was one of the things I had to omit in order to get to where we need to go. So I'm going to actually, we have 10 minutes to go, so I want to hit some key points, and then afterwards I can answer questions. Two remaining points. Two remaining points, and then we'll see if I get to the third. But the number one, communal access to the space that has the Erev in it. And number two, the popular practice of putting the Erev in a shul. So, first of all, communal access. Everyone is supposed to have access. The Meiri, though, makes a funny comment, which I brought you in... where did I bring this Meiri? Ayin Tes, thank you. Where he says, look at the end of it, after describing how you collect the Eruv, he says, V'afal pi she'enu modi alam leichan humanicho. You have to make sure that everybody has the rights to it, but you don't actually have to tell them where the Eruv is. So all those people who say, well, I don't know where my Chatzeres is, you're in good company. Miri says, don't ask questions. But we do require, interestingly, that the kli with the Eruv in it should be identifiable. That's the Rambam's requirement. What happens is, the Gemara in Erev and Ayin Tes, I brought it for you in Pei, says that the chavis with the shitufei mavoos, the barrel that you use, the shitufei mavoos, tzarech lagbiya min akarka tefach. You have to pick it up a tefach from the ground. So the Shulchan Aruch understands that to be an act of zikui. Right? Everybody's acquiring it now, picking up a tefach. The problem is, what's the rule for zikui in Kenyan? It's not one tefach, it's three tefach. Maybe. So that's the question, is this really just a unique thing, or what is going on here? The Rambam says, ha, fooled you, it's not about Zikoy at all. Take a look at the Rambam in Source Pei Beis. He says, you put it all together, small house, your passes, whatever. He's talking about Shituf, so therefore it doesn't have to be in a house proper. And then he says, if you put the kli in the yard, you have to pick it up a tefach, kideshi and nikar, so that it will be identifiable to people. And you make the bracha. It's somewhat nikar. I don't know if that means that you pick it up a tefach and then you put it down, or it has to be elevated a tefach. From the way he's wording it, it sounds like you just pick it up, and then you put it down afterwards. It's nikar at the time that you do it. Right, so I have to change what I'm saying. The Rambam's language actually doesn't indicate it. The Rambam's language is at the time of the dedication. That's the way the Rambam seems to say it. Big note on this issue of communal access, and this goes back to what I had said about the locked room. If the key is lost before Shabbos, it's not a valid Erev until you find the key. That's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Sadi Dalet Gimel. I brought it for you in Pei Gimel. That if you lose the key, you have a real problem. This goes back to the point about the Erev being with you. Ditto if the owner goes away for Shabbos and doesn't leave a key. The Nesivos Shabbos does have a note in Lamed Aleph Ha'ara Reish Chav Ches. He notes that you could smash the door, which would only be stirred derabanan. However, there's an issue del Raisa against damaging other people's property, so that doesn't really work.
That's not
an Israel Shabbos. That's an Israel Shabbos. That goes back to my point about the Kohanim and so forth. Yeah, so it's no good. He quotes an article on this from my Rabbi Mamet Roth. I don't know if that's Rabbi Meshulam Roth. I would tend to think he would have said so if it was, but I don't know who he's quoting. The Mishnah Berurah, though, makes an interesting distinction, which is very relevant for all of us, because we all lose things from time to time. And Mishavura says, there's a difference between where you lost the key, meaning that you don't remember where you put it, and where the key is in its proper place, but you forget what the place is. In other words, there's a difference between where I don't know where I put it down, and where I put it down in the right place. I just don't remember what the right place is. He says there's a difference between the two of them. He says, if you don't remember where you put it, you're out of luck. Your erev is no good. However, if you remember that you put it in the right place and you just don't remember what the right place is, that's valid because you'll remember that. Eventually, you'll figure out what the right place was. That's what the Shabura writes. I brought it for you in Source Pei Dalet. Okay, good. He doesn't say anything about saying anything about Rabbi Meir Balanes, the oddly enough. Okay, right. That must be why. That's for sure why. Okay. So today, the popular practice is that we put the Erev in a shul. So the Beis Yosef quotes the Agur, saying that the Maharam justified the practice. It goes along with that Mishnah Berurah, actually. Take a look at Source Pei Hei, the end of it. He says, V'heishiv ki harbe gedolim iru al zeh. He was asked about this practice of putting it in the shul. The problem of putting it in a shul is that it's not the place for eating, it's not the place for sleeping. Hello. No. He's thinking sanctuary. He's thinking in the sanctuary. Yes, the Tosfos was on the Gemara Pesachim says that it means they looked into that room from the outer room. You could see in both, and therefore the Kiddush made in the sanctuary counted for the bread they were eating in the outer room.
But not in the sanctuary.
Correct, you're not eating in the sanctuary. You're not supposed to eat in the sanctuary, no. So they, all the kids with their candies and whatever else, notwithstanding. So for them, it's makom pito. So they'd be kovei if they could. So the, but the Beis Yosef says, how in the world are we putting it in a shul? The Heshiv, and he says, the Augur answered, or the Mari Mulin, the Maril answered, ki harbe gedolim iru al zeh. Then, in fact, the Gedolim would challenge this. Ubesof matza b'shuvas maharam, she yishev ha-minhog. Avalonoda l'rav ha-nizgaratam. He says, I know that the Maharam explained it, but I don't remember what the explanation was. Exactly like the key. The Ramah says we do it in practice. The Ramah says we put it in shul. It's in Shin Samach Vav Gimel. So the objections to it are straightforward. One we saw in the Beis Yosef was that's not a place of Lina. And the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a place of Achila. I brought you the Mishnah Berurah in Source Pei Zayin. So the Nafkamina between the two, between it's not, a place of eating and not a place of Lina, will be the Shul coat room or the outer area. You're allowed to eat in the Shul coat room. There have even been people who have been known to drink in the Shul coat room, the Rahman al Itzlan. But the big question is, that's not a place of Lina, because that people walk through there all the time. So it's no better than a Beis Shaar, you know, so would you be able to use it? So there are two justifications that are brought. Justification number one is the Ramah, who says that our Erev is also Shituf. Right? And Shituf just needs to be in a safe space, so it's not in the open air. And then you're good. I have side notes on that, but I'm not going to go into them. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan I brought you later. The Eben Ozer brings a different justification. The Eben Ozer says, I brought it in Pei Tes. He says, I don't know why everybody is so up in arms. It just has to be in a house that is ra'oi l'dira. It doesn't have to be an actual dira. So, no. The difference is that the Eben Ozer, I think, is talking about the outer room of the shul. I mean, yes, it's true that the Chazish fits with it, but the Eben Ozer is not talking about the sanctuary. Because he has to argue, he has to agree, the shul space, the sanctuary, is not Roy Ladira. He's thinking of a different place, in other words. All of those who objected thought that you're doing it in the sanctuary. Hanging the matzah up, you know, in the sanctuary. The Eben Ozer is not bothered by that, because the Eben Ozer was talking about where you're putting it in the coat room or the lobby or whatever it is, and that's why it's okay, because even though it's not where you actually live, you could theoretically say this is now the space of my dira. Don't go, don't, you know, keep walking through here, don't, you know, this is now where I'm setting up shop and I'm eating my meals and so forth. That's what I think his answer will be. In practice, some specifically prefer to put it in shul. The Eben HaOzer has this fascinating argument for why you should put it in shul. He says it's because we sell seats to people who don't show up. That's what the Eben Ozer says in Source Sadi. He says the shul sells seats. Not everyone who has seats lives in town. And therefore, not everyone who has seats participates in the Eruv, the community Eruv. So the result is, they have a makom within the community. They own their space in the shul. And if you don't put the Eruv there, people will not be allowed to transport into there on Shabbos, because you have people who aren't participating in the Eruv. So by putting it in the shul, the Baal Bayis of the place that has the Eruv doesn't have to contribute to the Eruv, so we're solving a problem by doing so. That's the Eben Ozer's idea. It's brilliant. The other reason to do it, the Nesiva Shabbos in Lamed Aleph Ha'ara Reish Yud Zayin says we want everybody to be aware of it. And if you put it in shul, then it's nicker that everybody knows. That also fits with an Aruch HaShulchan that I'm not getting to, that who talks about making sure that it's nicker for everybody, and whether you have to say you need a public gathering when you say Bahadei Neruva or not. That all figures into this as well. Right, so no, he wants everybody to be aware of it, otherwise it will require a public gathering when you make the declaration. The Chacham Tzvi is quoted in the Nesiva Shabbos, but I didn't find it in the Chacham Tzvi. The same Ha'ara in the Nesiva Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, where Yishu Zayin, he quotes the Chacham Tzvi to say you should put it into the city's biggest, most significant shul. But I didn't see it in the Chacham Tzvi. I'm also not clear on what to do with the Aruch HaShulchan himself, because the Aruch HaShulchan says different things. Maybe.
Because the Chacham Tzvi said, don't put it in every shul, put it in one big, the biggest, like you claim that they should.
Where did he say it? I didn't see him say that. Where did the Chacham Tzvi say it?
That's an interesting implication. Like,
no, but where did you see that in the Chacham Tzvi? I looked through and didn't find it. So,
is the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva that you aren't allowed to put in more than one shul?
Right. But say, saying that you shouldn't create multiple doesn't mean that the one that you have should be in the biggest one.
That's what I was saying. Put it in like that, yeah.
I'd rather see something more clear. The Aruch HaShulchan is also interesting regarding use of a shul, because in Shin Samach Vav Tes, in Source Tzadi Aleph, I bolded it for you, he says, we put it there because it's like Shituf. That's what he says. And therefore it doesn't need to be in a Beis Gira. Right? Like the Ramah. However, in Source Tzadi Beis, I brought you that he said that actually we don't do Shituf at all, and the reason why it's okay is because it's no worse than a house. He said we don't have Mavolos, and the reason the shul works is because it's no worse than a house. That's a whole different argument. I don't understand why he's doing it this way, but he does. And in Shin Tzadi Hei Beis, he says, yeah, we stick it in shul. So I'm not clear on it, but clearly he is doing it in a shul. The last bit I'll just say outside, and that's the issue of changing locations. So the rule is you're not supposed to move it from the house where it's normally located. It's an issue of Darkei Shalom. It's a Mishnah in Gittin, which I brought you here. It's in Gittin. It appears on Nintes Amud Aleph. It's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Samach Vav Gimel. And it assumes that you're rugiel. If you normally put it in a particular place, don't change it. It isn't that if it was in this house once, now it's there forever. But if it was normally in that place, as the Mishnah Berurah specifies, then you don't move it. Why? Darkei Shalom. Now, I wonder if that goes back to my point in general about Shalom and Eva with an Eruv. The Rishami's view is that Eruv is meant to create Shalom. Having people go into each other's houses to get food will create peace. And therefore, the antithesis of it is to do something that will break Shalom. Or, alternatively, it's because you need people to willingly participate and share. And in the event that you create enmity, then people aren't going to willingly participate. Either way, we have this shalom concern. What is the shalom concern? So two approaches and then a third approach. The Gemara itself says, it's in Samach Amud Beis, it's Source Tzadi Vav on your sheet, the issue is chashad, suspicion. Rashi says that suspicion means that if people who are used to the air of being in one place now look for it in the old place and it's not there, they're going to assume that people of the city aren't making their chaseros. They'll think people are sinners. That's chashad, that's suspicion. Tosfos disagrees, presumably because that's not a Darkei Shalom issue. It's a suspicion issue. Tosfos says that the reason is because people who don't see it in the old place will assume that the community removed it because they felt that this guy was stealing. And that's why they moved it. That's chashad and Darkei Shalom. That fits with both. The Rambam has a third approach. The Rambam seems to ignore this whole chashad discussion and says it's a Darkei Shalom issue because the host benefits by not having to contribute to the Eruv. If you take it out of his house, now he's going to have to contribute. That's not nice. He had benefit that he was getting before, and it'll ruin Dr. Shalom if you now tell him he has to contribute to the Eruv. There is a nafkamina between the different explanations. The nafkamina is it about the resident or the residence? Meaning, let's say it's been in Moshe's house all along. Moshe then moves. He sells the house to somebody else. Do we have to keep it in the house? If I take Rashi's view that it's about people showing up and seeing it, there's no Eruv here, oh no, the town isn't using an Eruv, then in that case it's really about the residence. It isn't about Moshe, it's about his house, and it has to stay there when the next person moves in. However, if I take Tosfos's view that it's about the resident himself, people thinking bad things about him, maybe the new resident, no one's going to think bad things about him, will think we moved it. On the other hand, the Sharet Zion notes Achronim, the Sharet Zion is Shin Samach Vav Yutes, he notes Achronim who believe there's a concern for suspicion with the new resident also, and therefore you shouldn't move it with him too. The Magen Avraham notes that the issue is Hana, so there's no reason to think necessarily that the new buyer of the house, you know, acquired this benefit. You know, it's like an easement or something. Oh, they always kept the Eruv in this house. I'm buying it so that I don't have to contribute to the Eruv Chatzeros. Like, that's a hard sell. Once you do move it, let's say you moved it out of the house, the Magen Avraham says you don't make them move back. However, there's some debate as to whether that means don't make them move back on this Shabbos or don't make them move back ever. That's actually a discussion, but again, we're already over time. We went an hour and a half and we still went 5 minutes over. So I'm going to stop with that, and I'll answer questions, but I'll stop with that. Thank you.